Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another week here at Academic Agent. Over the weekend, there was yet another Tommy March in London, lots of big name speakers and so on and so forth. Of course, in line with my riding the tiger, I did not comment on this. I did not bother with this. You know, it's all a load of old rubbish. But because I've been avoiding the news, it's always very noticeable to me which stories the media really, really want me to know. In my car, I have my phone set to, you know, go onto audio. But it usually takes a little, like a couple of minutes there for the radio to switch over for the car to recognize the Bluetooth on my phone. And so I got a couple of little minutes of Radio 2, BBC Radio 2. And it just so happened to be the news hour. So in that little moment that my car was switching over, I got a little sting of what the BBC wanted me to hear about these Tommy Rannies. We got, you know, in this little news segment, a little vox pop, that is a little moment where the journalist talks to an attendee from one of these, you know, and they were talking about wanting to win the country back, how hated Keir Starmer is, Starmer out, you know, immigration obviously came up, and things like this. And so it was like the Patriots won our country back, okay, versus the pro-Palestine protesters who were there, who were all about anti-racism, all about, you know, keeping hatred out of the country and things like that. What was very noticeable to me was a couple of things. One, the media really, really, really want me to know about this Tommy rally. That's number one. Two, it's very much presented as a choice between two sides, a dichotomy, you might say. Side A is the Patriots, led by Tommy, who also loves Israel, by the way. And side two, led by pro-Palestine marchers, who are all about hating racists and keeping the racists out, and you know, British values, whatever, of tolerance and diversity, blah blah blah. So you've got the far right led by Tommy versus the lunatic left led by some horrible, smelly, blue-haired feminist. Okay, those are the two sides, and it's very clear that the media loves this matchup. It loves the matchup between the Tommy Tards and the blue-haired feminist, pro-Palestine, you know, smelly leftist. To me, as a seasoned watcher of pro wrestling, this, what's the word? What's the word, everyone? It's kayfabe. This is the media kayfabe. Okay, the horrible, risible far right, which is not really the far right, it's just normal men and women who are patriots, versus the, you know, the kind of woke, the horrible woke left. What is noticeable about this? Well, other positions aren't available, are they? It can't be that you can be both a patriot and, for example, not up for that little country in the Middle East. They come together as a package. Also, being pro-Palestine comes with package with being a smelly leftist. Also, being a smelly leftist comes package with supporting Keir Starmer. Also, being a patriot comes package with hating Keir Starmer. Okay, so regardless of what your views are on all of these various different issues, the point is that the media likes to package up pre-bundled packages of opinions and pit them against each other. What I've been about here on this channel is trying to step over such dichotomies, trying to expose the fact that this dichotomy in itself is a construction, and it's a construction that works to the benefit of some people and not to the benefit of others. I would suggest it does not work to the benefit of patriots in general, the dichotomy I'm talking about. It also probably does not work to the benefit of leftists who are simply seen as being smelly, unpatriotic, horrible, etc., etc. So there are many other aspects of this that we can get into as this goes. What I want to do today is I want to have a look at a Tommy Robinson interview conducted by David Starkey. I noticed that a number of by David Starkey reviews, the one with Connor Tomlinson, the one with Jeremy Hunt that I did a while back, were reasonably popular. So I thought, well, given that Tommy is in the news, given that Starkey interviewed him, why don't we have a look at this interview, and I'll give you some on-the-fly analysis. I've noticed it's quite a long interview, so this could take, you know, if it takes two parts, then we'll go into it. It depends how much patience I've got. I might run out of patience. So we'll get on to that in a second. I just wanted to highlight right at the start here that the falseness of the dichotomy and also various other elements of what I would describe as media kayfabe. For example, Starmer came out and he said, well, I'm not going to ban this march. I'm going to let it go ahead. But he also made the point of banning foreign speakers. Right, various people were denied visas or weren't allowed into the country on the premise that they were spreading hatred. Well, of course, from a certain point of view, this plays into their hands because they can, you know, they can say, well, we're being persecuted by the state. Now it's a free speech issue. You know, why are you stopping these people coming in? You know, these are all good patriots, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it works to the benefit of both sides because every single action taken by Starmer, for example, furthers the notion that he is the enemy of the patriots, and the patriots, you know, really need to get him out. And likewise, every action taken by Starmer, you know, furthers the narratives of, you know, the pro-Palestine crowd who are all about anti-racism and diversity, etc., etc., etc. What is slightly frustrating, in my view, is that I feel like many patriots move beyond this dichotomy, and many leftists, indeed, have moved beyond this dichotomy years ago, decades ago even, and yet still the media insist on it being this. Tommy insists on it being this. Tommy is always pushed front and center, you know, and here we are, another merry-go-round, and exactly the same as last time, right? There was another big one last year. I wasn't up for that. I said it will just be a hype. It won't lead to anything. Everybody will, you know, the energy will build up to this big day, then it will dissipate and so on. Well, I mean, here's another one. Only this time, there's more of a concern. There was much more of a explicit, it's going to be, you know, this lot versus the pro-Palestine lot. Patriots versus pro-Palestine. If you're pro-Palestine, you cannot be a patriot. You see the subliminal messages coming through again and again and again. And given who Tommy works for, this should not be surprising. Anyway, we'll get on to all of that and more. Let's see what Tommy has to say. But before we get going, I remind people, it is the spring sale at the Academic Agency. Pick up a course today. It's promo code COOL. I'll play the ad. And when we come back, I'm going to be smoking this ginormous Fonseca number one cigar. I always think I'm like the penguin with this one. But anyway, you too can be cool if you pick up a course today. Then we're going to have a look at Starkey and Tommy. Everybody wants to be cool. Like this guy. This guy is cool. Do you know who else is cool? People who do courses at the Academic Agency. And you too can be cool by getting a course today with promo code COOL, which gets you 25% off all courses today. Promo code COOL. All right, let's do this then. Let's have a look at Starkey and Tommy.
And you'll see it again on Saturday at a march designed to confront and intimidate this diversity and this diverse country. That is why this Labour government will block far-right agitators from travelling to Britain for that event, because we will not allow people to come to the UK.
Absolute hype. Absolute hype. This is kayfabe. Absolute kayfabe, in my view. You know, whether, and again, it's kayfabe whether or not Starmer knows it and whether or not Tommy knows it. This is kayfabe. You have to recognise it when you see it. It's building hype. Building hype, building, oh, this is a must-go-to event, the Tommy event. If you're against this stinky leftist, you must go. Hype, 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 pipe. This is the evil authority figure. It's Vince McMahon. It's Eric Bischoff trying to keep down, you know, the forces of good, which is Tommy. Starmer is selling the Tommy rally. Whether he knows it or not, that is actually what is happening. And, of course, the media are rubbing their hands with glee. So let's carry on.
The threat now commences. I spread hate on our street.
It's extraordinary, and it's pretty stupid of him, because he's just absolutely amplified our event.
Yeah, he has. There's just no other way to see it. Now, you could say, well, Starmer's just that stupid. Starmer's just so, like, out of touch and whatever that he doesn't realise that, you know, he's Barbara Streisanding this. But, I mean, really? Starmer doesn't know? Anyway, let's carry on.
He just still doesn't get it. He doesn't get why he was polling at 16%. He still doesn't understand what he's doing that the public are not relating with and what they're angry about. He done it after Southport. He doubled down again, and he's doing it again now.
Hello, and welcome to David Starkey Talks. This week, I'm delighted to welcome as my guest, Tommy Robinson, who is...
By the way, don't think I ever noticed, Starkey himself works the angles, doesn't he? He works the angles. He also plays into all of this kayfabe, I've noticed. But anyway, let's carry on.
Such an important person that in the speech in which he desperately tried to recover his floundering premiership, our Prime Minister devoted a substantial section to attacking Tommy's march, which is due this Saturday, and particularly a group of, I'm not sure I can use this word. Normally, of course, we never talk about foreigners because we love foreigners, but foreign activists who've been banned from the country. Tommy, can we start with the fact you must feel rather flattered that you occupy such an... I was going to talk about the Prime Minister's imagination, and then I realised I'd used the wrong word. Anyway, in what passes through his mind, that it's extraordinary, isn't it, in a relatively short speech.
I want to remind you, by the way, of some several occasions on which the Prime Minister and Tommy ended up on exactly the same page. Let's cast our mind back to that story of the Maccabee Tel Aviv fans, was it? Maccabee Haifa? No, I think it was Maccabee Tel Aviv when they got banned from the Aston Villa game. The police officer ended up the police chief who made that decision ended up losing his job, by the way. And I remember in that particular story, Keir Starmer came out on exactly the same side as Tommy Robinson. There are various other little incidences like that that make me raise my quizzical eyebrow, where I think, well, is this the little curtain of kayfabe being, pulled back? You know, maybe they're backstage. But, you know, somebody of the experience of Keir Starmer doesn't understand the push and pull mechanism that by taking actions, you make it a bigger deal. They must know this. They must know this. And you think, well, why was it Tommy that was stuck on TV back in, you know, by Piers Morgan? Why is it always Tommy who's, you know, amplified and amplified and amplified? Isn't there any other figure? So this tells me that there is some degree of media complicity in all of this. Now, I happen to know people who've been reasonably close to Tommy. And I've talked to them, off camera and so on about this. And they've always maintained that, whatever it is, whatever's going on, that Tommy himself's not aware of it. And I probably believe that. I'm pretty good at picking up on when people are disingenuous or not. I've never picked up on the fact that I don't really think that he's consciously kind of lying or anything like that. But I do think he's used. I think he's used, I mean, in the most straight up way, he's obviously used by that little country in the Middle East. But even more clandestine or even more sinister is the way he's used by the British system and the way he's used by the British state and the British media and the British security apparatus as well. It's very interesting. It's very interesting indeed. And as I said at the start of the video, I believe that the dichotomy that Tommy represents, the dichotomy where it's right, you're either a smelly pro-Palestine leftist who's about woke, right, on the one side, versus you're a patriot who just doesn't like all those mosques opening in the country, and you want your country back, and you hate Keir Starmer on the other side. You know, anybody who's been around for a while knows that that is not actually the true dichotomy, okay, on offer, and yet it is all that is ever served up. It is all that is ever served up. You know, I've said many times, I would prefer, rather than going the way of Tommy, I would prefer to see people go the way of Tucker, go the way of Anna Kasparian and people like that, or the meeting between Tucker and Anna Kasparian, I think is the more exciting thing. This feels like a retread of stuff that's been happening for a decade or more, and yet this is what is pushed. You know, I'm reminded, you know, of you know, various times in pro wrestling history, the fans wanted one thing, and you know, the WWE or Vince McMahon decided to push something else down their throats instead. You know, come on, Booker man, we're bored of this. But anyway, let's carry on.
You, the people coming to the country, the march, occupy such a large space. Why?
It's extraordinary, and it's pretty stupid of him, because he's just absolutely amplified our event. He just still doesn't get it. He doesn't get why he was polling at 16%. He still doesn't understand what he's doing that the public are not relating with and what they're angry about. He done it after Southport. He doubled down again, and he's doing it again now. And it's like, when he's done it, I'm sitting here laughing. I'm just at home going, oh, brilliant. You've now got worldwide attention.
How much did you pay? Come on.
I couldn't have paid him. I couldn't have.
You know, it's so blatant that even Tommy's recognised it, and even these two are joking about, you know, did you pay Keir Starmer to do this? Because it's great publicity, you know. I think it's kayfabe. I think, you know, whether Tommy knows it or not, the British state just loves this situation for some reason. It loves those being the sides. It doesn't like it when the sides aren't that. It really doesn't. It won't allow that into the conversation. It gets nervy and edgy when that's not the conversation. I've noticed.
I couldn't have paid anyone to give us the publicity he's just give us. And do you know what it is? It just shows the world. Like when he sits in the Oval Office talking about free speech, he's just banned. He wants to be part of Europe. We know that. He's just banned a European politician who was voted by 1 million people, 26% of the vote in his country. And he's banned him as a far right agitator, an elected member of parliament from Belgium. He's also banned David, which has not come out yet. I'm not in a position to say so yet, but by tomorrow you'll all know. Journalists have been banned. So the Labour government are not banning far-right agitators. They're not banning people who are coming to speak. They're banning reporters.
I think the journalist who was banned was Ezra Levant. I don't know. If you don't laugh, you're going to cry, aren't you?
Coming to report on an event in Great Britain. These are the signs of China, North Korea, Russia. These are the accusations that would be thrown against those.
Oh, I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day. Round and round and round we go. Free speech, Tommy. Tommy, March, free speech, debate. The left are the real fascists.
Nations. This is Great Britain. It's a sad state of affairs. He doesn't have to agree with us. People don't have to. But the thing is, he dedicated. Think about the level of anti-Semitism. Think about the hatred of Jews that's been encouraged in the last 24 months on the streets of the UK. And in his premiership little moment, he doesn't talk about them or their hate. And the problem he's got, and this is where they've all got a problem now.
Oh, here we go. Let's see what he says.
It's because Elon Musk bought X. We have a platform where 66 million people watched our last Unite the Kingdom event. They saw the unity. They saw the diversity. They saw it wasn't about hate. It was about unifying a country. They saw it themselves with their own eyes. So when he comes out and does this, or the media come out and criticise in the way they do, they're just digging their own graves. I'm sitting there thinking, well, everyone who come to the last event, which was, I'd say, over a million people, yeah, millions descended on the Capitol, millions are coming tomorrow, on Saturday, they know it's not a march of hate. They know it's a celebration of British culture and identity and history and bringing people together. So I just think, when he's done it, I think these people who are, you're meant to be the leader of our country. You're meant to have a high level of intelligence. Where is your, if you haven't got that, where's your advisors on this? How have you just gone and dug such a deep hole again? You've gone and like us, after the Southport riots, he had an opportunity to be a statesman. He had an opportunity to come out and say, Britain.
I actually agree. I actually, on the Southport thing, I agree with Tommy here that, Starmer has still never really recovered from how tone deaf and kind of just how he handled that in general. And he still hasn't recovered now, which is why he's on 16%.
We understand your fear. We understand why you're worried. We get it. We want to try and address some of these problems and these fears. Yeah. He could have done that. He didn't. He dug down and called everyone far right and attacked them with the media and weaponized the judiciary, imprisoned innocent people. That's what he did. He doubled down. He's done the same again now.
Can we just, Tommy, look at one narrower issue in everything that we've been talking about now? The criterion of free speech and what is free speech. If we look at the at least seven, when I last looked, it was seven, roughly seven people who had been banned. To your knowledge, and I think you're an honest man, how many of them uttered incitements to violence, which is the normal criterion for saying that, you know, the famous business of shouting in the theatre, it's that it incites action. That it incites violent action. Have any of them, to your knowledge, been charged with that, done it?
Not one of them. No. What it is they have opinions that don't agree with his worldview. That's it. Not one of them. And do you know what? Some of them who have been put forward as speakers, they weren't speakers at our event. There's journalists, there's a current journalist in another country who wasn't coming to our event, and they've contacted him and banned him because they thought he might come to our event. So it's an embarrassment for Britain, really. It's a real embarrassment. And when you look at the video of him in the Oval Office, it's just humiliating for him on a level where America are watching this. Whether he likes it or not, the world's eyes are on.
And this is another part of the issue and the part of the kayfabe is that Starmer leans into all this stuff and then it plays over on the slop, you know, in the slop MAGA world and slop right in America and leans into all the kind of nonsense narratives in America that, you know, Britain is a caliphate and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, frankly, I'm of the view that there's, you know, that people don't even want to escape this. That the reason that we keep on being in Groundhog Day is that ultimately, at some weird level, people want this to be it. Because every chance they're given to break the dichotomy, every chance they're given to not be this, they reject it. They go for the slop. They go for this again and again and again. So the message that tells me is that this is their revealed preference. The revealed preference is the Tommy March. Tell me I'm wrong.
London. They're going to be in London on May 16th. I just can't believe he doubles down and he's still, they'll have to drag him out of that office. They'll have to drag him out of 10 Downing Street. He's not giving up because he's such an.
No, I agree with this bit of what Tommy's saying, as I've been saying, that he's not going to go willingly. I've said that. You know, the Daily Mail ran this article saying Starmer's told his friends he's going to resign soon. I don't believe a word of it. So anyway, let's carry on.
ideologue. The same as the Attorney General. Them two, that pair, it's a dangerous pair.
It is indeed a dangerous pair. Let's just look at the kind of, again, issues that are raised by that contrast between those two, the Attorney General and Keir Starmer, and the purpose of the march. When you say unite the kingdom, you talk about the four nations, essentially, what are you doing? You're really saying, in other words, what's the aim? The aim is to bring together the native people of Britain in their own capital city, in a sense to, what, repossess it? I mean, what? In other words, what are you actually marching for? That's, just one second, that Starmer and Hermer are so hostile. Do you see what I mean? I'm trying to tease out why they're so frightened, why they've given you such publicity.
It's just struck me that, Shakespeare's got a play, Henry the Sixth, I think it's Henry the Sixth, Part Two, where there's this guy who runs a kind of rebellion in London called Jack Cade, and he leads the rabble essentially into London. And it struck me just now that Tommy is a little bit like a modern Jack Cade. Where he appears to the public and he appears to the media and he appears to all the patriots that he's kind of on the side of the people. But then you find out that Jack Cade is secretly working for, you know, certain special interests within the realm, that actually, you know, he's a kind of, you know, an agitator. And it's surprising a little bit that David Starkey, with all his historical knowledge, didn't pick up on the fact that there's quite a lot of parallels between Tommy and Jack Cade. But anyway, let's carry on.
I'd say they're frightened because they realise the country's now awake, and that's not what they've wanted. So we set out 2 years ago to awaken a nation culturally. And Keir Starmer was elected off 9.7 million votes. 20 million didn't vote. They're quite happy that 20 million don't vote. We want that 20 million voting. We want to reach them. They're not interested in politics because I know them, because it's me. It's us. It's our background. It's the people I grew up with. They don't vote. They don't care about politics, but they are.
So given what I just said, you know, Jack Cade wasn't the real deal. He was working for someone. Well, we know that Tommy's not the real deal and he's working for someone. What this tells me is that there's a certain little country over there who wants to overthrow the British government. Plain and simple. They want to bring the British government in line with the American government. What do we know about Donald Trump? Trump's law, everything he does for them. Well, the trouble with the British state is that is not currently the case. The British state is still in this kind of halfway house. It doesn't want to pick a side. It wants to, you know, the British state is the British state. And I've always said that Keir Starmer doesn't represent any one of the identifiable factions. He's not a true leftist. He is not of the, you know, he wouldn't be at one of those pro-Palestine marches, I'll put it that way. But he's also not aligned with Trump and Netanyahu and Tommy here, right, as much as they would like. And because of that, that is unacceptable to them as well. So Starmer is caught between a rock and a hard place. He's unacceptable to the left, as they are, and he's unacceptable to the Zionists, as they are. Okay, which means he has no natural base of support. The trouble is that Starmer, if my analysis is correct, represents the British state itself, which does find itself caught between this rock and hard place. So this is actually very important for the future trajectory of the country. And my preferences are actually, surprise, surprise, that even though it may seem like a good thing for the Tommy takeover, for what Tommy wants to happen, I would prefer that our government retains whatever independence it has, separate from the interests of a foreign country. So in a strange way, I prefer the likes of Starmer to fend off attacks from the likes of these agitators, but not for the reasons that you think, only for the reasons of core sovereignty issues. Because I see what's happened over in America, see that their Patriot movement, MAGA, was hijacked by a different power. And that has left many of those people reeling and feeling disenfranchised and angry. Okay. This here represents that happening in this country, and I prefer it not to happen. However, as a realist, my preferences are neither here nor there. Okay, just because I don't want that to happen doesn't mean it won't happen. And as I said, I believe, and this is one of the reasons I write off the so-called right, I believe that despite the obviousness of what I've just said, it may happen anyway. And that's the revealed preference of the patriots. Well, I said before, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you know, knock yourselves out, guys.
Interested in culture and identity. Now, for too long, we've been made to feel ashamed of who we are. We haven't been able to celebrate our identity. And what the movement was about was focusing on ourselves, on what makes us great as a nation, and unifying it, and unifying the people of this country. And the, when I say the people in this country, I also sense that there's a lot, there's, do you know how much anger there is in this country? And it's accelerated in the last 12 months even. It's like, it's a tinderbox. It's a tinderbox. People are furious. And when you look...
Is it though? When's the last time you saw David Betts? Civil War didn't happen. Like I said, it wouldn't. Where are all these people? So many people have been angry at yours truly. We're just telling it like it is and saying all this stuff is hyped. All this stuff is overblown. Actually, the country is not like a tinderbox. Actually, we're nowhere near having civil conflict. All this stuff is hype. Anyway, let's carry on.
Look at this. What Keir Starmer's shown is they can control our borders if they want.
Where are all these people who promised me, you know, what was his name? Meta Britain. Where are you all? What happened to you all? Your CAA, all that stuff. Well, May 2026 now. Nothing happened. Never Tommy rally. Remember all the go round a year ago? 2 years ago? All you have to have in this game is a memory. Nobody's got a memory. Anyway, I kind of like it out here on my little island. It's like a little oasis of calm in a sea of nonsense, isn't it? That's what the cigar represents in many ways. Someone asked me why I love cigars so much. I said it's because they force you to slow down, appreciate things. And if you smoke a cigar too fast, it punishes you. It'll make you sick. But this is a kind of metaphor for life in general. Got a little pause. You've got to take a little step back, pause a little bit. Let's not get carried away here. And that's not what Tommy wants. That's not what a lot of these agitators want. They want you up here. They want your anxiety levels heightened. Because in a heightened emotional state, you're easier to manipulate, squeeze for cash, and, you know, get to maneuver into position. All you have to know is there are interests who want this to happen who don't actually have your interests. Use your loaf, folks. But like I said, I've seen long enough that people won't actually listen to me. All this nonsense has to play out, so let's let it play out.
For journalists, for politicians, they don't for rapists, jihadists, terrorists, people who we know nothing about are being bought in. And they're being put in our neighbourhoods, in hotels at the end of our roads. And we're supposed to just deal with it. So that the movement, Unite the Kingdom, was a coming together. It wasn't set up by me. It was a coming together of many minds. We met up and we discussed politics, and we were at a point in 2024, after the October 7th attack, after witnessing such hatred and celebration and the alliance of the left and the Islamists together across the West.
Oh, so it was October the 7th. It was October the 7th that precipitated the Unite the Kingdom movement. It was an attack on Israel that precipitated a Unite the Kingdom movement in Britain. How'd you work that one out, Foundations of Logic fans? Where's the cause and effect? Where's the... Anyway, just carry on. To me, it's a non sequitur, but...
And the fact, again, that everyone saw the police weren't ready to deal with them and unwilling to deal with them. A two-tier policing for the world to see across every Western nation. It was all there. Now, we met up and we spoke and said, if we want to start up a political party, it will cost hundreds of millions of pounds. But if we change the culture of politics on the streets of the UK through celebration, through identity, through re-bringing Christianity back into the focus by re-understanding.
So Christianity now is the vector. Tommy's a Christian, is he? Well, since when has this been the case? So there was an attack. I mean, maybe he's not talking about the October 7th. Maybe he's talking about an attack that happened here in Britain. I don't remember any other October attack. But maybe there was one. But him and his mates got together and were like, what we really need is more Christianity. Help me work it out, people. What's going on here? So, since when has Tommy been a big Christian? Is a new thing? I've never associated Tommy with being a big Christian before. Maybe he is. Maybe like Russell Brand and so many others, he found God.
In who we are as people, what's made this nation, where is our identity come from, what is our culture, what built this culture? Because a nation of lost men who don't know who they are not going to fight for it. Whereas a nation of strong men, and what you're seeing now, we're going to introduce it on Saturday, is you're seeing men, I'm witnessing a revival in men. Men are meeting in fields across the UK. They're fighting in fields. They're training physically in fields across the UK on Saturday mornings. They're not going to church on Sundays. They're training, they're praying, and they're being stronger together for each other. Yeah, which is suicide rates of men in the UK is insane. Yeah, we are lost. We've been lost for a long time because we lost our identity. We lost.
I won't counter signal this, by the way. It's actually good if men get together in groups, if they embody the solar masculine spirit, if they help each other, if they support each other, if they're not just, you know, sitting home all day, you know, watching Netflix or jacking off or whatever else. All of this stuff is good. So on this side of things, he's talking sense, I would say. This part of what he's saying is true. I just maintain, just watch who's behind a lot of these things. I would prefer people, if they are, you know, if this sort of thing resonates, well, get up and do it yourself. Make it happen yourself. Make your own group. Rather than give your time and attention to ones that have, questionable sources of funding, let's just say.
Our communities, that mass immigration has broke down our communities. I've seen it myself. I used to walk the streets of my hometown. I knew every family, every person. Like that, boom, what's happened? Yeah, the sense of community is broke. The sense of community has been broken. So there's lots of goals of the Unite the Kingdom. But what that will do is terrify the establishment. Terrify them that these people were, he can't unite the country. He can't. They can't. The government can't. We can. They don't want people politicised. Now, my message on Saturday is going to be clear to everyone. We are going to be putting out QR codes to register to vote. Over the next 3 years, my goal is to get the working class voting. Get into them, the non-voters. And I'm not going to tell them who to vote for. Vote for reform. Vote for Restore. Vote for Advance. Join the Conservative Party. But get involved. Because if you're not involved, as I said, twice as many people didn't vote than voted for Keir Starmer. That is what apathy... Apathy leads us to what we're witnessing happen.
So, Tommy wants you to vote for one of the establishment right parties or for Restore or for Advanced UK. Now, when Tommy speaks, anybody who pays any attention knows he speaks with the voice of that little country as well. So what that tells me is that that little country doesn't want Labour in, wants Starmer out, and it wants one of these other parties in. And it's all hands on deck to try to make this happen, and Tommy's going to try to make this happen. Okay. They don't mind who it is. It can be Advance, it can be Reform, it can be Restore, because presumably they back themselves or they think these sorts of parties will be more friendly to them. Okay. Stands to reason.
Now, this attack on free speech, mass immigration, all of these things come from our fault. It's us not being engaged in politics. It's us thinking we don't matter when the power is with us. So I think I'm very confident. I'm confident in what's happened in 2 years.
But that's not true, is it? The power is not, and never has been, with the people. Populist delusion 101. It is organised minorities all the time. In this case, the organised minority is the British state that we're talking about. And they're up against another very powerful organised minority in the background here, speaking through Tommy. And so what they want is a circulation of elites, to put it in plain terms, from forces that are reasonably hostile to them, the British state, to or not compliant, let's just put it that way, or not compliant enough, to ones that are more pliable and more compliant, like the Trump White House, as an example, or like, you know, in theory, any of these parties. That's what they're playing for. And you may be saying, well, what should we do, AA? What should we do, AA? Fact is, it just doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter, because it's a play between organized minorities. And the fact is that if you're playing the game of electoral politics, if you're playing the game of, you know, thinking that, you know, the people are in power, you haven't learned anything over the past 10 years. Scrump and Evelyn did a very good stream the other day called The Electoral Frame. You should check that out if you can. I know they turn a lot of people off. If you can stomach the evil troon, watch that stream because it says it all. And that's what Tommy's selling here, really, is the electoral frame. That is what is on sale. Buy back in to the electoral frame. Tommy has commanded it.
I'm confident looking at Reform's results last week. I'm confident that by 2029, if that's when the election is, that we will captivate, electrify, and give back the identity of people to get involved. And if they're not involved, they can't moan. But we have to get involved. So
What this is telling me is that, you know, Zion doesn't really care which party, doesn't care if it's Reform, doesn't care if it's Restore, doesn't care if it's Advance or even the Tories. It just doesn't care. What it wants is a compliant force in. So he doesn't care which party. That tells me that they don't care either. Why? Because it's always transparent. It's never that sophisticated. It's always just straight in your face. Anyway, let's carry on. What's depressing is that knowing everything that we know, knowing everything that all of you people watching this know, everything that's been revealed, that it still works, that people still go for it, that it's still hyped up, that everybody still acts like we haven't lived through the past decade already. All the stuff about we know about Trump and so on, everybody acts like, oh, well, we just kind of mind lock that away and act like, you know, I just don't understand it all. I really don't understand how we're locked in this Groundhog Day again and again. And the only rational conclusion I can come to is it's what people want. It's their revealed preference again and again and again.
I'd say this is, I look at the pre, I was looking through history, and when we hear about our culture and our identity, I think the grounds of this nation, every corner of this nation, are soaked in the blood of our ancestors who fought for this nation. And you want to act like we don't have a culture and we don't have an identity, and you can think you can just erode that and welcome everybody to be part of that identity? Well, you can't. You can't, not now. You could whilst you had a silence, you could while we couldn't communicate, you could while there was no social media platforms for any of us, but we now can reach the masses with a positive message, not a message to overthrow the government, not a message to bring violence to the streets of London, but a message of unity, a message of community, a message of making strong men and strong families and strong communities again.
Why do you think, again...
That was a curiously nativist for Tommy. It's more nativist in flavour than what I've heard from him before. Let's see if the issue of race comes up at all, but it was interesting.
Let's look at what the other side would say. Let's look, because, you know, we owe justice. People like Starmer and Richard Hermer, the Attorney General, I think just see the world differently, don't they? You see the world through your history, your sense of family, of rootedness, of place, all of the things that you've been talking about. When I looked at the films of the songs that have been made, there are these great echoing phrases, you know, England's green and present land, you can hear Jerusalem, you can hear Elgar, you can hear even a little bit of Bruce Springsteen, but that's another matter. But Starmer and Hermer see the world differently. They think there really shouldn't be nations. They really think that everybody's the same, that there are no frontiers. Now, is that not a sort of noble vision?
No, it's a treacherous vision for 1,000 years of history in this country. And to think you can destroy, attack, and that you know better than the majority of us. But the problem is, because of the unwillingness to vote, the apathy, he was elected. He wasn't elected with a mandate. He had no mandate. There is no mandate for Keir Starmer. 9.7 million, there's no mandate. And now you're at 16% and you're still governing our country.
I mean, let's just think about this seriously. Does Keir Starmer really believe that there shouldn't be nations? Does he? The guy who gave the Islands of Strangers speech? The guy who's obsessed with defending Ukraine, the guy who, you know, has been trying to do everything possible for the past 2 years to get more money to the army. Keir Starmer really not believe in nationhood? The guy who wants to, like, you know, nationalize core parts of industry. I don't know about that. Is that true, what Starkey just said? I don't know. Are the actions of Keir Starmer commensurate with a man who truly does not believe in nationhood? I don't know, because he's been prime minister for almost 2 years now, and he hasn't actually dissolved the British state, has he? Or I don't know, like sold off assets like Margaret Thatcher did. Margaret Thatcher actually behaved in a way, in various different times, Starkey's hero, did actually behave in a way that she didn't really believe that borders should come in the way of commerce. So I'm not trying to counter signal too much. I'm just trying to think through in real time what these people are saying. We're already an hour in. This may take a while, but I think it might be worth doing. In fact, when we get to the hour mark, we'll stick a bow in this one, and then maybe we'll do the next one tomorrow. We'll do like a Tommy week here on the channel. Let's see what they say. But I don't really buy this notion that the Labour Party doesn't believe in nationhood, and that the kind of Thatcherite tradition that Starkey's from really does believe in nationhood, because the actions of them have actually been to sell off national assets, things which were nationalized, then were sold off. So again, these dichotomies that they keep on setting up, I'm questioning whether they're real or not. It's the whole theme of this video, really.
Country. Now, it's like, it's insane. We're still being it's a dictatorship at this point. He should have done the honourable thing, stood back. We've been wiped out in the elections. The country has spoken. Let's call an election. Let's give it back to the people in a real democracy, when the mood of the nation is so strong. And I sit here, and he is a globalist. He's a total globalist, as is his little right-hand man. They're globalists. They don't care about Britain. That we've seen this time and time again with him. But what this has managed to do, and his actions, is just expose himself. So I'm just sitting here, expose himself. But at the same time, do you know, we needed this as a nation. I believe America needed Joe Biden for 4 years. We needed Keir Starmer. We really needed him. We needed him. And bigger than politics, I'd say what's current, a trend that's happening, is a spiritual awakening across Britain. It's not happening in the church, but there is an awakening. And I can tell you, because I walk down the streets and I feel it, and I get it, and I sense it, and I get the emotion, I get the passion. You'll feel it. David, I'd love you to come on Saturday and experience it on Saturday. Something momentous. And on Saturday isn't about Tommy Robinson. The millions that turned up last time are not all there because they agree with Tommy Robinson. Yeah, Tommy Robinson has become a banner or a emblem that they've tried to crush. It's not about me as an individual. It's about a population who have been betrayed, who have been silenced, who have been attacked, who have been smeared, who they've successfully for 30 years kept this nation in a state of fear from speaking the truth to power and speaking their mind, and they broke them down. But that cat is out of the bag. The dam has burst, and it's about now for us, at a moment when the country is very angry, it's about trying to harness that.
To a certain extent, what Tommy's saying is actually happening. That is true to some extent. But it's always about levels of awareness, isn't it? You know, he talked about a spiritual awakening, and really that does need to happen. He's right. But I wonder if you were truly spiritually awakened, truly, would you be going to a Tommy march? Is a probably a legitimate question to ask. You know what my answer would be. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I like doing these kind of videos where I have the cigar and so on, because it's a little time to think. I kind of don't always know what I'm going to say during them, but they do give me the Starkey ones in particular, whether it's because of his style or whatnot. You know, he's always trying to get to first principles all the time, and that kind of stops and makes me think as well. There is something happening in the country, and the question is, I mean, Tommy wants to capitalize on it. Tommy wants to lead it. Tommy wants to, you know, make it this thing. Whether that is the way to go or not, I would suggest it's not the way to go. But there is definitely something happening. I know, I mean, I have all sorts of people, you know, running this channel. You know, people contact me all the time, message me all the time. You know, there's a lot of awake people in the country. But like I say, there's also layers of awareness too. There's layers of awareness. Anyway, let's carry on. 5 more minutes of this and Mr. Cabell on it.
Direct it in a positive manner. So, yeah, I know what Keir Starmer is. I've looked through his history. I know about his history. Many people may not. He's a total ideologue, and and as you said, he's a globalist. He doesn't believe in the nation state. He doesn't want Britain. And he's shown that, and he's showing it again now. Even now, with such a mandate given to Nigel Farage, and still he's talking about more getting closer to Europe. It's like, this country voted for Brexit, you clown. What are you doing? And listen to the people. You're betraying them again. So, yeah.
Right. Now, I want to go back to, and I was very struck with what you were saying, that you saw the actual march as a kind of consciousness-raising exercise with the goal of saying to people, go and vote. Because, of course, if I were wearing a different hat and I were on the side of Keir Starmer and whatever, I would be sitting here, wouldn't I, be saying, what the kind of march that you're organising reminds me of is Northern Ireland, is sectarian politics, is street violence, is the anticipation of Weimar. I mean, you mentioned men training in fields and whatever. Do you worry that your hope that this will lead to political involvement won't happen, and that instead we risk intercommunal violence? Because, again, just to highlight the point, and everybody on.
Again, the David Betts, this is another angle they love, don't they? Civil conflict, Northern Ireland. Kind of a slop-orientated question, but it's also true, because when you get thousands and thousands of people on the streets, it does always heighten the risk of these sorts of things. But as far as I can see, nothing really happened over the weekend. You know, I didn't really see any big headlines or anything like that. So,
understands the day you're marching is the day of the so-called Nakba, the forcible removal of Palestinians from much of the territorial mandate of Palestine, which becomes Israel, and there'll be a countermarch. And there'll be a counter-anti-racist march. In other words, there'll be two marches that represent these two different worlds we've been talking about. The globalist world on the one hand, and the world that you describe on the other. Have you got concerns about that? You must have.
Of course, David, of course. Do you know what date the Nakba is? It's the 15th of May, not the 16th.
Yeah.
So it's not the 16th. It's the 15th. So they could have protested on the 15th. They could have protested on the 17th. They could have. Yeah. I didn't know about the Nakba or have a slight care about the Nakba when I decided to sit down with the police 9 months ago to sort out and arrange this date.
Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence.
I arranged this date when I looked at the local elections because I believed that Labour would get trounced and it would be a perfect time for a mass gathering in our capital city. I believe that unless we politicise men, unless we politicise our communities and get them voting, then I am very concerned about the future because I see the anger. I hear it. Do you know how many people I've got messaging me and talking to me around the country who say peaceful demonstrations don't work? We're fed up. We're at our wit's end. But what I'm explaining is this is more than a demonstration. It's, as you said, it's about awakening the consciousness of Britain, about getting them, and not just that, letting them see, which we orchestrated and we've done very well with our video platforms and showing people our each event as we went on. So people could sit at home and think, I can go to that. That's not hate. That's not violent. So we police ourselves. We will police ourselves this Saturday. If anyone steps out of line, we, the men of the movement, will put...
You know, what's really interesting is that this is a slightly different Tommy from the one from last year. There's been a development. He's much more, you know, he's talking about spirituality and he's talking about men again, men. There's a lot more emphasis on men. And he's doing a lot less of the kind of like, you know, here's my black mate. And, you know, it's actually a diverse movement. he's now much more about consciousness raising, and he's kept on going on about the men. Very interesting indeed. We are 20 minutes in here, and I'm quite interested by this. I've got quite a bit of this cigar left too, and I've got pretty much a lifetime's worth of cigars in storage here, so I've got other ones too. I'm going to put a bow on this. We'll put this out on Monday, and I'm going to record a bit more, and whether it's tomorrow or later in the week, we're going to do a part two here, because I'm interested in this whole conversation. As I said, promo code COOL gets you 25% off all courses. Buy it now and enjoy your day, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of this, it's spring, good time to be cool. I went to Wisley Gardens yesterday, very nice. You should, if you're in the vicinity, you should go down there. Lovely flowers in bloom. And I'll see you all soon. Bye, everyone. If I can turn this off. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.